पशे सुरवंश्या लीला तनोर अधिक संय विमुक्षधम रहक्षोभतो चलति वन्दनमस्त्र पुगाय इन्द्रस्य शत्रुहनने कपया सहाया.
Lord Ramachandra's reputation for having killed Ravana with showers of arrows at the request of the demigods and for having built a bridge over the ocean does not constitute the factual glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra, whose spiritual body is always engaged in various pastimes. Lord Ramachandra has no equal or superior, and therefore he had no need to take help from the monkeys to gain victory over Ravana.
We are reading this afternoon the words of Srila Shukadev Goswami from the 9th canto, 11th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadev Goswamiji has briefly summarized the beautiful, wonderful pastimes of Lord Sri Rama as he appeared during the Treta Yuga. He is explaining here that it is an external reason for Ram to come for the purpose of killing Ravana. Because after all, Lord Sri Ramachandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the supreme most powerful source of everyone's strength. In fact, Ravana himself, he was a Brahmin. He was the son of Vishada. And as a Brahmin, he was a very learned scholar of the Vedas. But being a learned scholar is not really a qualification at all for spiritual advancement, because we find so many learned scholars misuse their learning, sometimes for their own profit, adoration, or distinction, sometimes to exploit others, and sometimes, as Ravana, in order to get such tremendous power for the purpose of fulfilling his uncontrolled mind, senses, and ego. So Ravana did great tapasya to Lord Brahma as well as Lord Shiva. Now Lord Brahma bestowed upon him many, many benedictions. He gave him the benediction that any of his 10 heads could not be severed from his body. And if they were, they would immediately grow back. And he granted him his 20 arms, such strength, such might, that he could not be defeated by any demigod or by any species of life. So what did Ravana do with his great powers and his great wisdom? He used it simply to nourish his own false ego. He wanted to conquer the whole world, and he wasn't satisfied with that. He wanted to conquer the entire universe. He was so impious and so materialistic that he wanted to make a means by which he and anyone he desired could attain the heavenly planets, Swargaloka. the planetary system of Indradeva. Now, according to the laws of God and the laws of karma, one can only enter into the stratum of these higher planetary systems through the process of good karma, pious life, charity, performance of yajna. But Ravana did not want to live a pious life, nor did he want any charity to anything or anyone but himself. He did not want to do any yajna for the satisfaction or God or the demigods. So by his own powers, he decided to make a mechanical process of reaching the heavenly planets. And he began to build a staircase that would go to Indraloka. Guru Maharaj used to say that there are so many followers of Ravana in today's society. Through modern technology, we want to attain pleasures without pious actions. In fact, they are even shooting rocket ships, trying to reach them to the higher planets so that they can enjoy the facilities of those places without any pious activities whatsoever. But it is impossible. Because even if they do attain the destination of higher planets through staircases or rocket ships or whatever, they cannot enter into the atmosphere of that planet. They cannot enter into the actual reality of that planet unless their senses and mind are purified by good karma. All they'll see is dirt or dust. According to the Shastra, the moon planet is a beautiful heavenly abode with beautiful palaces and castles and wonderful, wonderful vegetation and heavenly beings enjoying life in great pleasures. Then why is it that even if man possibly could have gone to the moon, all they brought back was some dust? And when we look at it with the microscope, all we see is craters, like a desert. In fact, when the moon landing was on TV, the narrator said, "It looks just like the Arizona desert." And Prabhupada said, "Because it is the Arizona desert." But anyways, why is it that when we look in our microscopes and telescopes, all we see is dust and craters? And all we can bring back is some dry rocks. What about all the beautiful gold and silver and jewels and all the vegetation and all the flowers and all the beautiful, beautiful heavenly denizens that we read about on Chandraloka? It is because unless you acquire the particular type of karma, the particular type of piety, to qualify yourself to experience that land, you cannot enter into the atmosphere. You can be there but not see anything. Because your senses and mind are not of the quality by which they can perceive that atmosphere. It is not difficult to understand. When I was a little boy, I had a dog. And everyone in America has a dog. If you don't have a dog in America, you become very lonely, because usually he's the only one that really is nice to you. Anyways, we had a dog, and one time for my birthday, I was given a dog whistle. Do you know what a dog whistle is? You blow it and nothing comes out, but the dog comes running. This is a fact. Because this dog whistle is a high frequency that human ears cannot even hear it. But dog ears have different kind of ears than human ears. They hear it, and they like it very much. They come running. So it was a secret between myself and the dog. No one knew that I was blowing the whistle except him. So what does this mean? That means even on this earth, there are certain senses that can perceive things that other senses cannot. Similarly, human eyes see in color. But according to scientists, they say that dogs' eyes only see black and white. They only have those facilities within their eyeballs to see black and white. So we are seeing red and green and saffron, so much nice saffron. But they cannot appreciate this because they don't have the karma. They don't have the karma to see Rupa Goswami's saffron dhoti. Nor do we have the karma to hear a dog whistle. So according to certain types of karma, even in this world, we are qualified or not qualified to perceive certain levels of reality. The heavenly planets are those places for people who have very high and purified material karma. And therefore they are given a particular type of senses that they can enter into these very, very subtle astral levels of consciousness, in which there are entire civilizations. Some people see ghosts. I knew one devotee. She would just sit and talk with ghosts and have conversations with them. And yet other people in the room could not see. She was perfectly normal and sane. It's a matter of karma. We can perceive certain things. Now, Ravana did not want to engage in any good pious karma. He just wanted to enjoy the facilities of the heavenly planets. And he wanted to, with his great material acquisitions, he wanted to exploit the resources of God. Our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, used to tell the story of Punar Mushtaka Bhava. He said once there was a magician, and close by to that magician, not really a magician, but a mystic yogi. He was a mystic yogi who could perform all these miraculous tricks. And near his house lived a little mouse. And one day a cat started chasing the mouse. And the mouse was very afraid, running. And then came to the magician, to the mystic yogi, and said, "Please, Mr. Yogi, make me a cat." Yogi said, "You will not be satisfied as a cat. There's no situation in this material world that will satisfy you." "But this cat keeps harassing me. Please make me a cat. Then no one could bother me." "All right, you become a cat." "Meow, meow, meow, meow. I'm a cat. Ah, now I will go chase mice." So he was out chasing mice, thinking, "What a wonderful birth this cat is. Who can harm me now?" Until one day, ruff, 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 "Yogiji, Yogiji, what do you want? Make me a dog. This dog is harassing me. There's no peace of mind. I can't tolerate it. Please make me a dog." "You will not be happy as a dog." "No, no, please. I know better than you." The great souls are always telling us we'll never be satisfied with any material arrangements in our life, but we're still thinking, no, 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 just give me this one thing. That's all I ask for, then I'll be satisfied. All right, you become a dog.
Ruff, 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 ruff.
Ah, now I will go chase cats. So he started chasing cats.
Ruff, 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 ruff.
And he was really feeling himself very, very powerful. Until one day the cats started running into the jungle and he chased them into the jungle. And to his great surprise, Yogiji, Yogiji, what? What do you want? That tiger. He almost ate me alive. Make me a tiger. What is this nonsense? Make you a tiger. You will not be happy. You think that tiger is happy? There is no material arrangement in this world that you will ever attain that will bring you peace or security or happiness. Whatever you say, just make me a tiger. All right, you become tiger. He became tiger. And then Yogiji asked the tiger, why you were looking at me like this? You go into the jungle where you belong. Tiger said, I am hungry. And today I will eat you. Yogiji says, why you want to eat me? I'm the one that made you a tiger. Today I will eat you. And when he was just about to eat the yogi said, Punar Mushtaka Bhava. Again become a mouse. Very embarrassing situation. But this is material existence. We gain all our powers from God, and then we want to exploit what God gives us. Similarly, Ravana, he gained all his powers from Lord Brahma. And where does Brahma get his powers from? From Lord Narayan. So indirectly, all of his powers were coming from Ram. But then with those powers, he utilized to steal away the goddess of fortune, Sita. Such powers. He disguised himself as a sadhu, as a very saintly person, just to exploit her. You cannot judge a book by looking at the cover. Similarly, there are many people who disguise themselves as holy men or religious leaders, but they are simply here to cheat us, to exploit what is meant for the service of God. Srila Prabhupada told us the story of one such egoistic so-called sadhu who had long flowing hair and long white beard and was wearing beautiful robes. And one day he was giving a lecture, and somebody in the back of the lecture, an old simple man, was weeping. And he was thinking, this man is really appreciating my greatness. I will speak even more forcefully. And the more forcefully he spoke, the more this man in the corner was weeping and weeping and weeping. And he was getting such satisfaction to see that this man was so much attracted by his power as a great sadhu. So after the lecture, everyone was coming to touch his feet, and the man was still sitting in the corner weeping. So finally, after everyone left, the sadhu, with great pride, he went back and said, oh, did you enjoy my lecture today? And the old man said, I couldn't hear you.
because you were too far away and you weren't speaking loud enough.
What?
Then why are you crying? Then I'm crying because I'm a washerman. And for all these years, I had one goat that was carrying the laundry on its back. And just yesterday, my goat died. He was my good friend. And whenever I would see you speaking and your beard would move, I was thinking of my goat. So in this way, what is a sadhu? A sadhu is not shaved heads or saffron dresses or big long matted hairs. A sadhu is the quality of a person's life. What a person says and how a person lives. One who is purely serving God and showing compassion to others selflessly. That is a sadhu. Now Ravana, he had so many ladies that he was forcing into his harem, his abode. He was committing every type of sinful activity. His favorite delicacy was drinking the blood of human beings. He was a rakshasa, 10-headed, ugly monster. But by the powers he received through his tapasya, he was able to assume a beautiful, pious, handsome form of a sadhu. And he came to Sita begging for charity because he knew that Sita was very charitable, especially to holy men. When Sita and Ram were living in the forest of Chitrakoot for so many long years, their greatest pleasure was to serve the holy men, the sadhus, and to associate with them, and to hear transcendental knowledge from them. So Ravana, being very wise in his own demoniac way, understood her weakness, and he approached her in this way. The power he received from Ram, he was using to exploit what was Ram's. And he stole Sita away. And with his chariot driven by asses, he took her to his kingdom of Sri Lanka. And he ordered her to surrender to giving him enjoyment. Now Ravana had been cursed because he was so expert at accosting and exploiting women. At one time he tried to exploit the wife of a great sage, and he was cursed that if you ever tried to enjoy a woman by force, you will die. So therefore he had to convince her to be willing. But she was so chaste and so faithful to Ram that Ravana, do you not know that you are like a jackal who has stolen the property of the king? I am only meant for Ram's pleasure. And Ram will come and he will destroy you and all of your Rakshasa dynasty if you do not return me to him. But Ravana, he was so intoxicated by his false ego, he could not listen to good reason from anyone. This is the nature of false pride. This is why Queen Kunti prayed, Janmaishwarya Shruti Shibir Edamanamada Puman, that the material qualifications are the greatest disqualifications for spiritual life. Because we become so intoxicated by our material opulences. Our pride is not able to even hear good advice from well-wishers. Even Mandodari, Ravana's wife, told him that Ram is the personality of Godhead. Return Sita, I will give you pleasure. And even his own brother, Vibhishan, was begging him, return Sita.
But he was thinking that he was the Lord, that he was the controller, that he was the great one, that no one could conquer him. He had forgotten who he had gotten his powers from. So anyways, it is a long story, but Lord Sri Ramchandra, he ultimately made alliance with the army of Sugriva, who was headed by Hanumanji. And Hanuman was sent to find Sita, and he was the one that found her in Sri Lanka. And after giving Sita hope that Ram will soon come to deliver you from this terrible Rakshasa, he decided to play some mischief. So he destroyed the Ashoka Grove, which was the favorite garden of Ravana in all of Sri Lanka. And Ravana sent many of his generals and soldiers, and Hanuman killed them all. And ultimately Indrajit tied up Hanuman with a snake rope and brought him to Ravana. And Hanuman also, he told Ravana, that you see what I have done? I am only the insignificant servant of the servant of Sri Ram. If you do not return Sita, he will destroy you. Ravana became so angry. He wanted to kill him, but on the advice of his ministers, he set his tail on fire. And Hanumanji, with his blazing tail on fire, he escaped from the snake ropes and started beating the soldiers of Ravana with his flaming tail, killing them. Then he was jumping from building to building until the entire city of Lanka was blazing on fire. And after he put the whole city on fire, he turned to Ravana and said, I am only the insignificant servant of the servant of Ram, and look at what I have done. I have destroyed your whole kingdom. Return Sita before Ram comes to destroy everything. But this man's pride was like such an immovable mountain. He still could not see the obvious reality of death standing right before him. But is he any different than any of us? In this material world, we are all trying to enjoy the property of Ram. Sita is the goddess of fortune, and her energy is permeating this whole world. Anything that's beautiful, anything that's pleasurable, is actually the energy of Sita. It is all meant for the pleasure of Ram. And we find, although we are enjoying what is for Ram's service, we are exploiting it for our own selfish purposes, and we hear from so many saints and sages, from our very childhood, we have heard it from the scriptures, we have heard it from the sadhus, we are hearing it today, and we are seeing everyone who's trying to enjoy this material world. They are all basically becoming frustrated, and ultimately they are meeting death. And yet still, we will not listen. We will not surrender to Krishna. We still want to exploit the property of God. So in this way, Ravana symbolizes this material consciousness that is prominent in everyone's mind in this material world, except for those humble devotees who are like Hanumanji, who simply want to return Sita to Ram. In fact, when Srila Prabhupada came to the West, he said like this. He said, I am the servant of Ram, and I have come as the representative of Ram to return Sita to return the opulences of this world for the service of the Lord. And he looked at all of us and he said, and Ram has only given me monkeys like you to help me. But even monkeys like you, if you are just sincere to be the servant of the servant, you can be empowered like Hanuman. Anyways, after this, they decided to make that glorious bridge across the Indian Ocean. Ramchandra, who was so humble, so respectful, trying to show how an ordinary person should respect higher beings, he went to the ocean and he requested the blessings and permission of the ocean, the deity of the ocean, to cross her. But he did not reply. So Ram, with a burning, angry glance, he shot an arrow into the ocean, and the ocean became terribly hot, and terrible turbulence and agitation started to formulate. And it was about to happen that all the aquatics were on the verge of death. At that time, Lord Varuna came out of the ocean and said, I am your servant, please forgive me. You will soon conquer this Ravana and reclaim Sita. This is my blessing. Now cross me. And they built that bridge of huge mountains. They were ripping the tops off of mountains and taking these rocks, and with the name of Ram written on each one, it was floating in the ocean. What difficulty is it for Ram, by his power and by the power of his name, to float stones in the ocean? When right before us we see the moon and the sun and all of the stars floating in the sky. For millions and billions of years, all the planets are floating, not even in air, but in space. How wonderful. The Lord who creates the law of gravity has the power to defy the law of gravity. But because none of us can create it, we have no power to defy it. What goes up must come down. This bridge was 80 miles wide and 800 miles long. And all the monkey soldiers, there were so many of them that they were marching across. And when they reached Sri Lanka, Ravana, he was informed. So he sent two spies, two very, very powerful Rakshasa generals in the disguise of monkeys, just to see exactly what type of forces that Ram had and to report to him. So these two monkey spies, they came to Ravana's camp. Now, something happened just before this. All of the ministers and all of the intimate associates of Ravana, they were all glorifying him with so many words, telling him, you are the greatest, you are the supreme, you are undefeatable, you are going to be victorious in this battle. There is no possibility of defeat for you. They were just puffing up his ego like anything, just chanting his glories. And Ravana was sitting on his throne saying, yes, yes, you have understood correctly. Nothing could defeat me. I am the all-powerful. I am the master. But then Vibhishan, who was his half-brother,
He actually loved Ravana. He told Ravana that these people are crazy. They are ignorant fools. That Ramchandra is Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of all power and opulence, who is eternal, whose knowledge, whose body is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. He's the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of the entire creation. You have no hope. You have stolen his wife. And if you do not return her immediately, he's going to come and destroy you and destroy all of your crazy friends who are flattering you. And he's going to destroy your entire kingdom. You should honor Ram. You should worship him, and you should bring Sita back. When Indrajit heard this, the eldest son of Ravana, he became infuriated. What nonsense you're speaking, Vibhishan. He said, you are a traitor. You have no faith in your brother. He said, you are a coward. You do not know the might. He said, myself, without any help from anyone, I could destroy all those monkeys' armies, Ram and Lakshman. And Ravana, he has defeated even Indra and all the gods, and you dare to challenge his authority? Vibhishan, with great anger and compassion, he said, Indrajit, you are just an inexperienced, immature child. You don't know what you are talking. At that time, Ravana became so angry with Vibhishan because he was giving him good advice, because his false ego was so much intoxicated. And by all the people flattering him around him, he was even more intoxicated. He was about to kill Vibhishan, but because he was his brother, he spared his life. And Vibhishan said, Ram, Ravana, if you do not return Sita, I am leaving. I will have nothing to do with your crazy ignorance. He said, I am going to take shelter of Ram and surrender to his lotus feet. So Vibhishan, with all of his ministers, went across the boundary walls of Ravana's kingdom, and he surrendered to Ram. And Ram gave him shelter and accepted him as his intimate associate. How wonderful it is that it is not a question of one's birth that entitles us to be an intimate associate of the Lord, but it is a question of our desire to serve. Because Vibhishan was a rakshasa. He was Ravana's brother. And the monkeys were suspicious. What is this rakshasa coming? But when Ram saw that he was actually humble and submissive and sincere to serve, he accepted him as one of his closest associates. So when these two spies came, disguised as monkeys, and they were observing what type of weapons the monkey soldiers had, what type of forces, who was there, Vibhishan recognized them, and he had them arrested, and they were brought to Ram. And these soldiers realized, these spies, that they were going to be killed. So they surrendered to Ram. That we understand that you are all powerful. Please be merciful to us. And Lord Ram, very lovingly, he told them that you are spies. Go on spying, no problem. In fact, you're free. You can go back to Ravana. And if there's anything that you haven't spied on enough,
then you have my full authority that you can just scrutinizingly examine everything about our armies and then go back and tell Ravana everything you saw. But also tell him that he had no right to take my Sita. And if he does not return her, he will be the food for vultures. He will be sent to the court of death. So these two intimate generals returned to Ravana. And they told Ravana, "Ravan, we have seen the power of Ram and Lakshman. He does not need a monkey army. Ram himself single-handedly can destroy all of our armies, all of our kingdom, and he will undoubtedly kill you. Please, we beg you, return Sita." That's good advice. But Ravana's ego could not accept. He was thinking that they became bewildered by associating with these monkeys and they're telling me all nonsense. Go away. And then they made their plans for the attack. Ravana, one of the first things he did was he wanted to dishearten Lord Ramchandra. So one of his Rakshasa associates, I think his name was Vijutsa, he was a mystic. And Ravana told him that you go to Sita with the head of Ram, an imitation head of Ram, and tell her that Ram has been killed. So he did that. He went to Sita and he said that Ram has been killed. Ravana went to Sita. "We have killed Ram and Lakshman, and all the monkey soldiers are all dead. So now you should surrender to me. Because if you do not, I will cut your body to pieces and I will drink your blood and eat your flesh." And then this Rakshasa came with a head that appeared to be Ram's. Bloody. And he threw it on the ground. And then he took a bow and arrows that looked just like Ram's, threw it on the ground. And Sita began to weep and cry. She said, "Oh, Ram, how is it that you have gone off to join your departed father, Dasarath, and you have left me here in the clutches of this Rakshasa? How can you do this? Today I will take my life, I will die, and I will join you. Let my head be united with your head. Let my body be united with your body. If you have attained the higher worlds through death, I'm coming close behind." At that time, Ravana was called because the war was about to begin. And Vibhishan's wife, she happened to be there. And she became a very intimate friend of Sita. She told Sita, "Please do not cry. This is not Ram's head. Ram is the supreme personality of Godhead. He cannot be killed. This is all a mystic illusion. But soon he will come and reunite again with you." Sita was pacified. And then the great war began. So many of Ravana's greatest generals were being sent into the battlefield. And they were all slain by Ramchandra and his army. He became so furious that at one time he sent Indrajit. Indrajit started fighting with Angada. But Angada was such a powerful warrior that he actually began to defeat him. So he started cheating. He made himself invisible. He went into the sky and started showering arrows
so many arrows that all of the monkey armies, including Ram and Lakshman, were completely covered from head to toe in arrows. And he even sent certain arrows which were incarnations of serpents to completely devastate Ram and Lakshman. And they were laying on the ground, and everyone considered that they were dead. Indrajit went to Ravana and said, "Ram and Lakshman are dead, Sita is yours." And Ravana began to celebrate. He was so happy. At that time, clouds started forming in the sky. Ives. And then Ram and Lakshman were freed and they got up. And Garuda, he bowed at their lotus feet and said, "I am your eternal servant." How is this possible? It is Ram's pastime. Just to give special loving service to his devotees, sometimes he even puts himself in a position that appears helpless, on the verge of death. Just to glorify his devotee and give pleasure to his devotees. Similarly, here in our temple, Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, we are cooking for Radha Gopinath every day. We are bathing them every day. We are dressing them with fine garments and jewelry every day. Do you think that Radha Gopinath cannot dress themselves, cannot cook for themselves, cannot bathe themselves? Krishna can do anything. But he assumes this helpless position just to give us the opportunity to render intimate service to him. In fact, Guru Maharaj used to say, when you're worshipping the deities, you should know that if your offering is not on time, you are keeping Krishna hungry. That he's hungry and you're keeping him waiting. You're causing him inconvenience. Now, how is it that Krishna can be hungry? He's hungry for our love. He's hungry for our devotion. And he puts himself in a form where he appears helpless just so that we can feel the need to offer him our devotion. So in the same way, Lord Ramchandra appeared to be defeated just to give this intimate loving service to Garuda. When they came back to consciousness, Ravana was very disappointed. He was trying everything. One general after another, each one was Maharathi, Rakshasas, millions of soldiers with the most sophisticated weapons of the times, mystic weapons. And these monkeys, they had no other weapons except their own hands and whatever they could pick up and throw. And yet Ravana's army was being destroyed. Ultimately, he called Kumbhakarna, the most terrible of all Rakshasas, who was so big and so evil that he was practically devouring all living beings within the universe. So the demigods approached Lord Brahma and said, "You have to stop this person." So Brahma cursed Kumbhakarna that he would fall asleep for the rest of his life. So Kumbhakarna just fell to the ground and the whole earth shook. But then Ravana, who was his elder brother, he was a devotee of Brahma, and he pleaded, I cannot ask you to reverse your curse, but give him some clause. Give him some opportunity to survive. He said, all right, one day a year he could come awake.
and he can devour any living creature he sees. So Ravana called the devotees, his devotees, to wake up Kumbhakarna. And it's a long story, but he was so terribly huge. They put a giant mountain of flesh and thousands and 2,000 big pails of fresh blood just as a snack when he wakes up. And then they started beating kettle drums, and thousands of rakshasas were trying to push his arms and move him, but he just kept sleeping. And even when he would snore, he was snoring terribly. And it was like he was so gigantic that it was like wind just blowing everyone over. But it wasn't so much the force of the wind, but the smell of stale, rotten flesh and blood that was coming out of his body. Even the rakshasas couldn't tolerate it. He wouldn't wake up. Finally, they took thousands and thousands of camels and horses and elephants and just started riding up and down his body with it. He still didn't wake up. They were beating big mallets with nails against his body and blowing horns and kettle drums and taking thousands of chariots riding up and down his body. And finally, he woke up. And he ate the mountain of flesh and drank the blood. They told him, Ravana needs your help. So as he was walking out of his cave through the city of Lanka, the monkey soldier saw this huge mountainous towering figure. It was coming above the walls, and even Rama and Lakshman were amazed. They asked Vibhishan, who is this? What is this? We have never seen anything like it. Vibhishan said, this is Ravana's brother, Kumbhakarna. Be ready. He's a very, very powerful warrior. So Ravana told him that I have this beautiful girl named Sita and I want to enjoy her. And unless Rama is killed, I cannot. And he's destroying our whole army, so go and kill him. Kumbhakarna said, no problem. Consider them dead. And he went into the battlefield, and the monkey soldiers attacked. And with his club, every time he would push his club, over 1,000 monkeys were destroyed. And he would, just with his hands, he would pick up 30 at a time and put them in his mouth and eat them. And from his mouth there was all the blood and flesh falling. Kariyo. And just his feet was trampling upon them. All the monkey soldiers were so afraid they started running away. But Angada said, better we die in battle than be cowards. We are servants of Ram. We must fight and we must be willing to die for him if it is necessary. So they all went charging back, and he was destroying tens and thousands until finally he faced with Ram. And they spoke so many sarcastic words to each other. And ultimately he came with his big iron mace, and Ram took a crescent arrow and cut off his arm, and the mace fell, and thousands of soldiers died. Then he came with his other arm. He picked up a huge tree, and Ram cut off his other arm, and it fell to the ground. Then he came to trample on Ram with his feet. Ram took two more crescent arrows and cut off both his feet. And then he fell down, and then with his terrible, hideous mouth, he opened it up and just went at Ram to devour him. And Ram just shot so many thousands of arrows that he completely filled up his whole mouth. And Kumbhakarna was in a helpless condition. And then Ram took a very formidable special arrow that was shaped like a moon, and it severed Kumbhakarna's head, and it went flying to the gate of Sri Lanka. And the rest of his body went flying into the city of Sri Lanka, destroying so many beautiful palaces and buildings. Ravana was too much depressed to see this. But Indrajit, he said, "My dear father, do not worry. I will destroy them now." And he went into battle. And how powerful was this Indrajit? He was creating so many illusions and fighting so terribly. Vibhishan informed Raman Lakshman that he's about to perform a sacrifice, and if he completes this sacrifice, he will destroy everything. He's unconquerable. Lakshman must kill him before. So Lakshman started destroying the Rakshasa army so much that he interfered the sacrifice, and Indra just came out. And there was a great, great fight between them. But Lakshman severed his head. And Indrajit's beautiful, earring, bejeweled, crowned head fell to the ground. Ravana could understand that he was going to be killed, but he wouldn't admit it. See how ego is so powerful. That even if you know you will be defeated, you're not even willing to admit it to yourself. He sent his whatever remaining soldiers and armies out to destroy Ram. But Ram was personally, single-handedly killing them all. Ram was just moving so fast that it appeared that he was everywhere. He was moving so fast and they were seeing him everywhere so much that each soldier of the Rakshasa army appeared to be Ram. And the fellow soldiers were cutting off their heads. He created this illusion where all the Rakshasas looked like Ram, so all the other Rakshasas were chopping the heads off of Rams, but they were actually killing each other. Total devastation. Then Ravana himself came out. He came out to fight. And Lakshman challenged him. And Ravana took a powerful javelin that was given to him by the demon Maya. And he threw it. And it soared through the air. And it penetrated the breast of Lakshman, who fell to the ground unconscious. Ravana was about to sever his head when Ram came and fought with Ravana and chased him away. And then Ram embraced Lakshman with tears of love in his eyes. His beloved brother, servant, devotee, was he going to live or was he going to die? At that time, Jambavan explained that there was a certain mountain in the Himalayas, and there was a particular herb in that mountain that would bring Lakshman back to consciousness. And Ram sent Hanumanji. And Hanuman, who was the son of Vayu, he flew like the wind. And he went to the Himalayas. And the mountain began to hide her herbs. And Hanumanji was thinking that everything is meant for the service of Ram. If you do not provide the herb, I will uproot the entire mountain. And sure enough, he uprooted the entire mountain. And with his hand, he began to fly back to Sri Lanka. How is this possible? Just see the enthusiasm of the Lord's devotee. A devotee becomes so inspired to serve the Lord that such a devotee does not consider what is possible or what is impossible. Such a devotee has such complete faith that the Lord can do anything through his surrendered servant. Hanumanji had that faith. There was no obstacle that could come in his way of serving the Lord. And this is a very important principle to consider. That so many obstacles come in the way of our devotional service. But we should never give up hope. With full enthusiasm, we must just perform our service with all our strength and might. And leave the rest to Lord Ram. The Lord can empower his devotee to do anything. Mukam karoti vacha lam pangum langayati girim yat kripata maham bande. By the mercy of the Lord, even a lame man can cross mountains. Even a dumb man can speak the most beautiful philosophy. And even a blind man can see the stars in the sky. Hanumanji had this faith. And therefore he had this power. And he flew, he leaped all the way back to Sri Lanka holding this mountain. And they extracted the herb and they gave it to Lakshman and he came back to consciousness. And Ram became so happy. Of course we know that Ram could have brought him back to consciousness. And Lakshman is none other than Ram himself. There's no reason for him to be unconscious. But just to give this glorious service to Hanumanji, this wonderful pastime took place. Just to glorify his devotee, the Lord puts himself in so many predicaments. Ravana came out and he, for the first time, actually for the second time, he met Ram face to face. And Ram took sharp arrows and began to cut the heads of Ravana from his body. But every time a head would fall, another one would grow. And then he would cut them again and another head would grow. And there was cutting and growing and cutting and growing. Ravana represents lust. Although this is historical, nevertheless, there are symbolic understandings that are being portrayed. That lust, that kama in our heart, is like Ravana. However much we try to defeat and cut down our lust by sense control or any other process, the head of lust again comes up, comes up, comes up. It is only when we completely surrender our lives to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is only when by His mercy He shoots the arrow of His grace into the very heart of that lust, that kama, is it killed. So Lord Ramchandra took the most special of all his arrows, and it flew through the air and pierced the heart of Ravana. And he began, all of his 10 heads began to vomit blood, and he fell to the ground dead. Shri Ramchandra ki
Rio.
And the wives of Ravana, they all came out and they began to cry that you deserve this, you sinful rascal. You stole Sita from Ram, but now we are widows. Look what you have done. Because you were not willing to live in harmony with the will of the Lord, because you tried to exploit the property of the Lord, Look at what you have done. The whole Rakshasa dynasty has been killed practically. All of us women are suffering, unprotected widows. The whole city of Lanka is practically destroyed. His wives told him, you deserve to go to the lowest regions of hell. But Ram was so kind, so merciful, so forgiving, that he knew for all the sins that Ravan had performed, he would go to hell. But he asked Vibhishan, his brother, to perform the last funeral rites for Ravana, so that his soul would be delivered. Of course, on a material platform, Lord Ram wanted to show Ravana this type of mercy by giving him a proper, respectable funeral. But from the spiritual point of view, because he died in the presence of Lord Ramchandra, he was already purified and liberated, as was everyone on the battlefield who died in the presence of Ram. And then Lord Sri Ramchandra installed Vibhishan as the king of Sri Lanka. And then Goddess Sita, the eternal beloved consort of the Lord, was brought back to be reunited. It is the devotee's highest and truest ambition in life to simply assist in the beautiful pastimes of Sitaram or Radha Krishna. And how do we assist in their beautiful pastimes? By simply accepting direction from those great souls who are dear to the Lord. We should know that whatever service we are given by the great devotees of the Lord, they are engaging us in the loving service of Radha and Krishna, of Sitaram. We are assisting the pastimes of the Lord by simply becoming the servant of the servant of the servant. And that same Lord Sri Ramchandra, who on this day killed the demon Ravana and liberated the soul from all these demoniac influences, he appeared as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is considered more merciful than even Ram or Krishna. Although Ravana was killed and fell to death by the arrow of Ram, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come with the weapon of the holy name to kill all the demoniac qualities within the hearts of all living beings who simply accept the name of the Lord. When we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, which is none different than the Lord Himself, we are calling upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead to kill all the Ravanas and Hiranyakashipus and Kumbhakarnas from within our heart. In fact, the name of God is a more powerful weapon than the Sudarshan Chakra or the arrow of Ram, because it not only kills the demoniac tendencies within us, but it awakens pure, unmotivated, uninterrupted, ecstatic love. The name of God doesn't just kill demons, but it transforms them into pure devotees. Today is also the appearance day of Sripad Madhvacharya. This morning we spoke about the life and teachings of Sri Madhvacharya. He is also one of the great acharyas, who is an incarnation of Hanuman, who appeared on this celebrated day of Ram's victory over Ravana. It's very symbolic because Hanuman, Bhima, and Madhva are all incarnations of Vayu. Hanuman, the greatest day of his celebration was the day that Ram conquered Ravana. And he came again as Sri Madhvacharya and was born on this festival day. To again assist the Lord by Madhvacharya's strong, undefeatable philosophy, he annihilated all atheism and all illusion and ignorance. And coming in the disciplic succession of Madhvacharya, Mahaprabhu came to bring the ultimate fulfillment of the grace of God in this age of Kali Yuga by propounding the simple process by which we can all enter into the divine Leela of the Lord by chanting His holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And what more wonderful way is there on this auspicious day of celebrating Ram's victory over the demoniac forces than to all come together to dance and to chant the holy name. Actually, it is explained in Ramayana that at the time when Ram killed Ravana, all the monkey soldiers began to dance and sing the glories of Lord Ram. So Prabhupada has already said that we're all monkeys. So we should celebrate in the same way. We should dance and chant the names of Ram. Thank you very much.